The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen and Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.
Welcome one and all to the DL Debate, the championship, beaming out from the famous Mountaintop Studios here in Letterkenny. Thanks so much for tuning in, whether it be now live on the radio or listening back on podcast. We have another packed show in store for you this evening, with, as usual, top guests. The one and only Frank Craig will be joining us from the Donegal News. Donegal playing legend, now football manager and successful football manager at all levels, Declan Bunner will be joining me. And Kerry Starr, now top pundit, Tomás O'Shea will be on the line also. Swinging across to Donegal to start off, it's been another epic week after last week's first championship victory, with the ladies coming to a head with Glenfinn's brilliant one over Milford. We're now down to semi-final stage at the intermediate, or final stage at the intermediate and senior level, and we're at semi-final stage at the junior level and hurling level. And in the juniors at the weekend, Carndonagh and Letterkenny faced off, and Letterkenny Gaels beating them 15-110. Sides level on 60 minutes, and late scores from Kieran Cannon and Ronan Frayn secured a semi-final spot for them. Conor McBurdy kicking 7 points. The other game in the juniors saw Mavill and Oris go head-to-head, and Mavill coming through with 1 point to spare. So that sets up a semi-final of Mavill v Downings. Downings, many people's tip for the title. The sides met on an earlier occasion, and Downings had a bit too much for Mavill, but certainly Mavill will take heart from that game. And another semi-final, Convoy meet Letterkenny Gaels. Convoy, I suppose, the form team in that junior championship, but I think that is the toss of a coin. Convoy at the weekend beating Bundoran in a regional league game. If you can read too much into that, it's always a junior team toppling a senior team. So that's where the juniors is at. Swinging our attention now to the intermediate and seniors, we had a cracking weekend's action, and we had victors from Clochaneely and from Eirua after extra time. And Niamh Columba, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by a man that might have had his eyes on a few games at the weekend. It is Declan Bunner. How are you today, sir?
I am not so bad, Bren. Not too
fresh,
bad at all.
Fresh on the Monday, boy, ready for action.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of football over the weekend, and yeah, looking forward now to getting back ourselves at county level.
Yeah, Dick, we took in a few games at the weekend. The Niamh Columba game went to extra time. Clonely Boncrana, you seen in the park?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, two good games, and you know, Niamh Columba probably felt, you know, they left 6 or 7 points of a lead slip, and you know, fair play to Eirua, came back into it, set up a nice final, Eirua against Clochaneely. Boncrana done well to get through from junior last year into a semi final this year, and they're building. It's a young team there, but yeah, looking forward, that should be a decent final between Clochaneely now and Eirua. Clochaneely were in the final last year, defeated finalists, so they'll be looking to one of this time, right?
Yeah, certainly a young team in Boncrana coming up from junior level. They've learned a lot from that. The big semi-finals at the weekend, Dick, you took the two of them in, starting with Kilcare, Gidoor, a wet night in Letterkenny, and certainly a game of two halves. You know, at half-time, certainly Gidoor looking like they were well-placed. There was a bit of bite about them first half. They had a good bench. Looked like it was set up for them in the second half, but, you know, Kilcare completely taking over them. It was a brilliant second-half performance, outscoring them 8 points to 3.
Yeah, big second-half performance from Kilcare. Yeah, first half to go was a big score in the game, and finished well by Eamon Collum. You know, he just felt that looking at some of maybe the key men on Gwydor, Owen McNeillis didn't look fully fit. Keane Mulligan pulling up early in the second half would have looked like a hamstring injury. So big losses to Gwydor. But you have to say Kilcare on the second half performance were the better side and definitely deserved to win it.
Yeah, I mean, from the organisation we've seen from Gidoor, Dick, you were down there, you successfully managed them down there. There always seems to be a wee bit of a backstory there, you know, going into the game. There's a few questions about players, about tactics, and they had a bit of a stop-start season, and it just seemed to unravel then for them in the second half.
Yeah, listen, you know, watch them over the last two or three matches, and you just felt that same, probably that same bite, that same hunger wasn't there. And, you know, there was injuries within the group, and just didn't seem to get going this season. But as I said, you can't take anything away from Kilcare. I thought that second half performance was top class. You know, Patrick McBurdy kicked a couple of really big scores. I thought Andy McLean was very, very good. Ryan McHugh and Owen McHugh, you know, all playing well. So from that point of view, you have to say, yeah, they definitely deserved their victory.
Yeah, McLean, a player, I suppose, Dick, we're thinking with players around the county could step up and make a mark for Donegal. He's someone that seems to be putting his hand up to say, I could do something for the county.
Yeah, he's been in with us now for the last last maybe 10 months, 12 months, or even though it's been stopped for the last 5 or 6 months, but he was there for the early part of the season. And yeah, I've had him at underage level, good player, good attitude, and you know, great engine. And yeah, done very, very well on Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah. So Kilcare back in a final. And I suppose from that final that they won a couple of seasons ago and went down the Ulster, unlucky to lose to Sloughneil, it really felt that the sky's the limit, and you wouldn't have thought it would take Kilcare these couple of years to get back in. It just shows you in Championship you've got to do it when it's happening, and make hay. Another semi-final yesterday, Dick, bit of controversy. Are you surprised there was a bit of controversy in there? I mean, it was a real stop-start game, you know, very blank, 3-3 at half-time. You're like, God, what's happening in football here, you know? There didn't seem to be a lot of ambition to go and win the game. It was very tactical. It did catch fire towards the end of the match, Dick, and of course, the big talking point after it was the Niamh Connell goal, you know, that had brought them back from the death, three points down. I was chatting to a referee friend of mine and yours, Pat McEnany. I just wanted his views on it, Dick. But you know, he was saying if the keeper catches the ball, he can't be touched in the box, and it looked like Patton had his hands on the ball before McLoone bundled into him.
Yeah, listen, there's no shortage of controversy when these two teams meet, and yesterday evening was no different. And very cagey, as you said, very tactical match, very low scoring, you know, defences, big numbers, and scores very difficult, and any space very difficult to get. But yeah, it turned on that decision. That was a big call, and I haven't seen it back since, to be quite honest. But it was a huge call at that stage of the game. The Unions were, you know, 3-point lead, and a game that was very difficult to get scores in. It looked like Unions were going to get to the final, but you know, Niamh Connell dug in, as they have done in the past, and they're back in their fourth final on the trot. And you know, I'm sure they're delighted this morning.
Those are 1-point victories, Dick. That's 1 point they beat Unions by last year. They won the county final by the same. That's all they need to get across the line. They're the masters at it. Kieran Thompson, of course, that wand of a left foot, Dick. You know all about handy left foots yourself. Since he came on the scene with Donegal, you know, I thought he's as good a left peg as I've seen on his day, you know. And he went for one in normal time and he missed it, and you thought he could have maybe run the clock. Niamh Connell were in the lead at the time, but he went for it then and added time when it was down to the last minute of the game. And what a score to win it, Dick. Although, from your perspective, he has a bit of a niggling injury, which must be a worry now with their own on the horizon.
Yeah, exactly, because, as I say, we're back in this week, and it's the weeks are flying in, 4 to 5 weeks to our first match against Tyrone in the league. But it's good to see Kieran getting in there yesterday. You know, there was doubt all week of whether he'd start or not. Came in and he actually done very, very well. He won 2 or 3 really good catches in the middle of the park, but the score was an absolute gem. And what a way to win the match. And yeah, it set up a really, really interesting final, you know. And, you know, Niamh Connell last year getting to that Ulster final against Kilcoo. I think they've learned a lot from that, Niamh Connell. You know, of all the teams that I've watched this year, they just seem to be well organised, well set up. And but now you're up against Kilcare, which is going to ask a lot of questions. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Should be a great game. Dick, I just wonder about your own perspective going to watch a game now. You know, you can in some way relax and enjoy the fair, unless it's Narasa, of course, are in the middle of it. But you know, do you go and watch? Do you have players earmarked to go and look at? Do people be talking to your backroom team? Are you looking to see the fitness of certain players? You know, I suppose from everybody's perspective, the likes of, there's so many players, you don't want to pick up injuries, but do you go, are you able to enjoy the game and do you earmark as, say, lads to look at?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I suppose at this stage, Bren, you know, you identify players, you look at players, you see, you know, the age profile of some of these players, you look to see how they're doing for their clubs. And a lot of the younger lads that we're looking at the minute probably coming maybe out of 20, so they're still 19, 20 years of age. And it's still a step up when you're playing senior championship football. And then the next step up, you know, can they make it at senior inter-county level? And, you know, talent and, you know, is one thing, but it's the whole package that comes with it, Bren. It's the hard work that goes on behind the scene, those gym sessions and, you know, making sure you're preparing every day for your next session and, you know, that attitude. And it just doesn't happen overnight. You know, you come into a county setup now and it could be 12 to 18 months before you actually put on a jersey. That's the way inter-county football is.
Mm. Listen, Dick, we're lucky to have you because I think for a few years there, personally, as a fan looking on, I think we were going down a bad route of very negative football, and you come in and you realise that this wasn't going to take us far enough, and you refresh the thing. We still play with our tactics, but we still play with that attacking mentality that everybody wants to see, and it just makes enjoyment. It's almost more enjoyable going covering it and watching games. Like just with Donegal coming back now, was the lads in like an S&C program? Did everybody have modules? Were boys allowed to do certain things outside of club nights? So there's training, say, two nights at their club. Were they doing then gym work and aerobic work on the pitch through a program?
Yeah, exactly. You know, over that period, you know, initially when lockdown started in mid-March, you know, we didn't know when we were going to get back on the pitch. No one knew what was happening. So, you know, enter the world of Zoom meetings, and you know, we've had 4 or 5 months of that there. The lads were all working on individual programs over that.
They all tracked when they're doing this stuff. So everything's been fed back to a database.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't get away with one.
There's none. No, exactly. Not like in your day, Brendan. You might have said you'd done 2 big sessions in a week, but now
a session could be a different thing then.
Yeah, exactly. But now, listen, it's all monitored now, and it has to be. And you even seen even lads coming back in, especially at club level, the guys that come back in when they went back on the pitch, the amount of injuries were picked up, those soft tissue injuries. It was a real spike in injuries. A lot of clubs were suffering from that, because, you know, once they got back on the pitch, they felt probably they had to do maybe more than what they should have been doing, because 5-6 months out, even though you may be doing 5Ks and different stuff like that there, it's not the same as going back into high intensity pitch sessions, you know.
Yes, surely, Dick. And we're going to go more in depth into the semi-finals with Frank Craig coming up next. Dick, I just tossing your eye around Ulster there. Very interesting result coming out of Armagh. Anytime Cross McGlenner beat at any stage, but to be beaten a final, Mahery, I think, is 82 since he last won a title. Cross have won 23 titles since, an absolute dominating power in Ulster. But what a day for Mahery. And, you know, I suppose in the low scoring side of our game that we were at yesterday, Niamh Connell and St Junan's was 17 points. Cross McGlenn 4-9 Mahery. Big day for the club.
Oh, huge day, and a big surprise. You know, Cross McGlenn have been the kingpins, not just of Armagh, but Ulster football for a long, long time now. But great to see underdogs coming through. And Mahery, I mean, 4 goals is a big return, and you know, goals won matches.
It's tough though, like, just thinking about not being able to go in the Ulster then. You know, for Cross going in the Ulster, not that big of a deal, you know, the Fiends. But for Mahery not being able to go in to represent, it's kind of tough that. But listen, something had to give, and Ulster Champions Club Championship had to give.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure there'll be a few big days around the Mahery area now. What celebration? So as their season's finished, they have their championship, you know.
There's always a silver lining, Nick. Just going around the other clubs, speaking about the Ulster Championship, Kilcoo, the champs who were beaten by Warren Point in an earlier group match, they put Warren Point to bed in the club championship, going for their 8th final, and they've won 7 of them. They're now in the final with Kerry Duff. They won 118 to Warren Point's 2-6. Big result there. And Derry Gonnelly and Fermanagh, they're back in a final with Edirne, and they're going for 6 titles in a row. So it's funny, the different counties, Dick. You know, you have Kilcoo dominating, Derry Gonnelly dominating, and now Donegal's got into a stage where it's anybody's title, really, I suppose, out of 4. But it makes it at least interesting that it's not that walkover stage where you have a team that just dominates it. I don't think that, from your perspective, from a county manager, it's always good to have that more interest and that more depth in terms of teams coming through. I think one team dominating probably isn't good for club football generally, or the county.
No, exactly. And I think we're in a, you know, privileged position in Donegal at the minute, that we have 4 teams at that top level that are, you know, that are really driving it on. You know, Unions will be disappointed this morning, there's no doubt about that there. But listen, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with over the next number of years. It's a young profile and age in that team, and a lot of good young lads coming through there. You know, Kilcar have been at that top table for a number of years now. Niamh Connell is their 4th final on the trot, and Guidoor, their underage structure, a lot of good teams coming through. So, you know, it's up to the rest of the clubs to try and break into that. You know, McCool's had a really good season this year and ran Guidoor to the pin of their collar last week. And again, a young team coming up, so they could be a force to be reckoned with and may break into that top 4. So yeah, it's Donegal, and any of those teams, you know, there's no Ulster Club Championship this year, any of those 4 teams could have went on and represented Donegal and done extremely well at the Ulster Club level.
Yeah, certainly. So like, now we have 2 league games to finish off the league programme. Then we're in the championship with Tyrone. So it's all going to come thick and fast now. There's not that kind of build up to the championship. You're going through the leagues and you find out where you're at. And we've got our centre of excellence open. So everything's pointing to a positive season for Donegal.
Yeah, listen, as I said, we're back out. I was down checking the premises last week. It's a fantastic facility there now. The dressing room area, the analysis room, meeting rooms are all Aralda Gym is all there, and four pitches playable there at the minute. So yeah, looking forward to getting back down. And it's going to come very, very quick, because we're playing Tyrone in that National League game, I think it's around the 17th, 18th, middle of October, 4 or 5 weeks away. And, you know, important that we maintain our Division 1 status for next season. And we still have to go to Kerry the week after that, and then you're in the Championship. So it's going to come pretty quick. And, you know, what the county, we still have, I think, up to 9 or 10 players involved in county finals, which is taking place the week after next, which is not going to be ideal in terms of preparation, but we're going to have to try and manage that.
Yeah, fingers crossed everybody comes in unscathed. I want to wish you all the best for the season coming up. Thanks for joining me on the DL Debate.
Thanks, Brent.
Let me turn our attention to some in-depth analysis. We had a quick chat with Declan Boner there around the championships, but now we've got Frank Craig on, the man that always brings the real meat, the real juice. How are you, Frank?
I'm not too bad, Brent. How are you?
I'm setting you up big time there, Frank. Frank, listen, now, myself and yourself watched a few games at the weekend there, looking at the intermediate semi-finals. You were sitting with your wee bobble hat on in Letterkenny there, watching Cloughaneely. Just a wee bit too much for Buncrana.
I suppose across the weekend, four big games, you know, intermediate and senior championship. And to be fair, like, the intermediate, you know, upheld at the end of the bargain, wasn't that Aireach Naoimh Columba? Sent my understudy Ryan Ferry along to that there. Read the report though, you know, by all accounts, a cracking game. But, you know, Cloughaneely and Buncrana, very entertaining. I mean, it was the early penalty awarded to Kevin Mulhern, who I thought was absolutely fantastic. You know, over the course of 60 minutes, Darren McGeever converts that. And I was just looking at my notes afterwards. There was 9 separate occasions, Brenton, that goal split the side. You know, Cloughaneely would go 4 ahead, Buncrana would pull it back to 3, go 4 ahead. And I know they pulled it back to them 2 at the very end. But at the end of the day, it was that green flag and that big decision that decided it. And something that maybe kind of flew under the radar at the time, I thought Sean McCaffrey and the Cloughaneely goal was brilliant with his kick-outs. You could see that they had a lot of work done there. We talked about Kevin before the game, even myself and yourself. I thought he was a tour de force, Kieran McGee. And even Jason McGee, you know, even though he's not 100%, he still had a big say.
Yes, Frank. You know, McGee in particular, after watching Hugh McFadden give a bit of an exhibition in place ball kicking, McGee, if Murphy needs a couple of understudies, McGee had a couple of monster scores. Fitness wise, you just wonder, Frank, will he be back in time in fitness for Donegal? But certainly we need the players of his ability around the middle. But I agree with you in Mulhern being man of the match.
Now, yeah, listen, I know we're segueing there and it's a different conversation, but you see the likes of Michael Lang and Jason McGee and Hugh McFadden with their injury worries, and down the line you would worry about Donegal around the middle. But again, even going back to St. Michael's Kilcare last week, you know, Michael Langan on one leg was still influential, even carrying these knocks and injuries. These lads, Kieran Thompson and for Niamh Connell yesterday, carrying a knock, still just undeniable quality, and when you need it, you know, those are the guys that are stepping up and still able to make a huge influence on games even when they're not at 100%.
Yes, yes. The other semi-finals, you see, Frank Aireach and Naoimh Columba, Aireach squeezing through in extra time. That decision to put back on Philip Patton, reintroduce him in just over a couple of minutes, he had 1-1, turned the game on its head, and Aireach sneaking through, setting up a cracking final between them and Cloughaneely.
Yeah, and listen, Glenn, I think we're 5 points clear by all accounts. Then Ryan Glass's goal at that time had made it, I think it was 111-106. They were in the driving seat, you know, going on Ryan's report. 11 wides, kicked by Naoimh Columba, which is a damning statistic, you know, with the benefit of hindsight. Philip Patton, as you say, came back on, hit 1-1. I think it was a matter of minutes, and that proved decisive. Shane McGrath then getting the winner. I think Aireach had 8 different scorers over the day. I mean, that's massive at any level, but it's particularly massive at intermediate. Funny, I'd previewed this game last week, and I'd kind of just, you know, typed into the old Google machine when both these sides kind of last maybe had big impacts on senior football. You know, they met in the 1998 senior championship final. That same day, Brenton, I was looking at an online programme. Both those clubs' reserve sides were in the county final also. So that's, you know, the level they slipped, and I've heard certain, you know, individuals over the course of last week talking about senior clubs that are struggling, that maybe they'd be better off down in intermediate a year or two. You don't get to make that choice. You slip down to intermediate, you could be in the football and doldrums for a decade, like the aforementioned two. And, you know, the likes of Ardrath, you know, Dunlow, Terman, obviously Milford have struggled in recent weeks. You know, they'd just be delighted. You know, Ardrath have saved their bacon now. just probably delighted to be in the championship. You know, people will tell you it's far harder to get up out of that intermediate grade than it is to stay in the senior. So just a sort of a funny sort of, you know, a kind of sideways look at that there. And Nave Clumb, I'd be a bit disappointed for them, but I think, you know, in terms of physicality, they're probably a wee bit off just where Aru and maybe Clohanaly are at this minute. But with five county under-20s from last year, you know, a good group of young players, I think they're coming. Didn't get there this year, but I think it's only a matter of time before we do see them make that jump back up.
Yeah, certainly. And just as you say, getting up and down from different levels. Terman, of course, defeating Milford at the weekend, 111-8 in that senior football championship relegation playoff. So it's down to Milford and Dunloe now, Frank. As you say, always dangerous to take the drop because it can knock you back and it's much more difficult to get back up.
Without a doubt. But you've seen over the years the struggles. Even Clohanaly are back in a second final now, you know, have punched their weight in Division 1, more than held their own. And again, we talk about the levels, you know, that so-called top four. You know, if you get to Division 1, you know, sides that got there, I have no doubt that the likes of Nave Clumba, who have departed, even Buncrana, who's jumped up from junior, it's very obvious, you know, with the players back, that they're a top side. Either one of those sides could probably, you know, tread water at the bottom, you know, of the senior football championship or at the bottom of Division 1. There isn't that big a gap, you know, there's probably a bigger gap in that so-called dominant top four, and maybe they also ran below them than there is in the bottom of Division 1, bottom of senior championship, and then those towards the top of intermediate level. You know, it's all very interesting kind of looking at that there, you know, of course with the benefit of hindsight and kind of making those kind of evaluations.
Yeah. And Frank, we turn our attention to Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Senior Football Semi-Finals. As you said, the big four you mentioned there, there was going to be some serious clashes at the weekend, and the games, I suppose, the Unions, New Connell game will come to the minute. There was always going to be controversy. I don't know why. It just seemed like that had to be, there had to be a lot of things in the melting pot in that game. But first of all, on Saturday evening, Kilcare and Gidor played in a very wet O'Donnell Park. And Frank, you know, Gidor had been patchy going into it, but we kept thinking this team was going to maybe pull out a big performance. And first half, they looked decent. They were level at half time. They'd got that goal, which I think Kilcare were so weary of. They were trying to protect their defence. It's probably their weakest point. Obviously conceding the three goals to Gidor last year is what done them. Now Gidor got the goal, but Kilcare steadied the ship and for me came out second half very composed. And you know, I was just looking at Adam Spear walking off with the guys at the end. Looked like a much fitter, more well put together team. And then the likes of your Ryan McHughes and your Paddy McBurdy's and that, they really came to fore in that second half.
Yeah, listen, I'd feared for Kilcare going into that there game. Not feared, but I'd kind of had a feeling that Gidor might have looked at St. Michael's and their approach in the second half in Towny the week before and maybe looked to mirror that there. But Gidor didn't go direct, and even their focal point in terms of Aidan McGee earlier on, I thought that was maybe the wrong choice. Things, you know, there doesn't seem to be that same synergy and that same maybe momentum that they've had in previous years, but on their day, the amount of talent that they've on the pitch at any one time, you know, you can expect it to click. But Kilcare maybe looked at the learnings from that St. Michael's game. I thought they were very composed throughout. It wasn't a great day for football. You know, Eamon Collins' goal seemed, you know, it might spark good work, kind of put them into the lead at the end of the first quarter, but John McNulty's lads settled, you know, looked at it, worked their way at a trouble level at half time, and then they pushed those, you know, couple of points ahead after restart, and out of all four games across senior and intermediate, they're probably the most convincing winners. You know, 5 points in the end, it didn't flatter them. They were very well organised. There's something just really good about watching them. I think they're the most exciting side to watch in the championship. They don't change it up. You look at Nave Connell, changed it up a wee bit. Yes, they very early on showed St. Union's a lot of respect. Kilcare don't do that. Kilcare will go out, you know, they'll go toe-to-toe with you. They'll defend in numbers, they'll break in numbers. It's really exciting to watch, brilliant to watch. And, you know, I think they're deservingly true to a final, and it's going to be a very interesting clash of styles with them and Nave Connell next week.
Big clash of styles. Yeah, big clash of styles. Frank, just as you say, when players have that defensive formation set up, you need players who can get beyond them. That's why I've always felt Kilcare are that dangerous team. I mean, 3 years ago when they won the championship and went that Ulster final, narrowly losing to Sloughneil, you really thought the sky's the limit for them. And yet, here we are, we're only seeing them back in a final now. I just think the two McBurdies, the three McHughes, you know, McLean, they've guys, I think every one of those guys can take on their opposite number. They can create space. I think that's what makes Kilcare probably that bit more dangerous from the other teams that were in that last four and now in the final.
Yeah, you know, they feel they can dip a shoulder and go. And Kieran McFadden made a very good point last week in preview in this game with ourselves and Donegal News. He says, you know, wanting to put a hand on Kilcare and actually managing to put a hand on them are two very different things, because people will talk to maybe about their lack of physicality. But you see, when the ball has worked back along those lines and maybe the opposition get players behind, they're very comfortable on the ball. Every one of them, you know, can take a solo and move over and back. And, you know, that's a very underestimated thing in senior football, because there's plenty of players that aren't that comfortable in possession when they're left to their own devices, maybe and not closed down. They sort of panic and they can go back. There's nothing taken to chance by Kilcare in their approach. I mean, when they're moving over and back laterally, when sides stacked back against them, you see the likes of Ryan McHugh, Andrew McLean, these boys looking and surveying what's going on ahead of them. And then when they, you know, I suppose right a tackle or evade a tackle and make that space, suddenly they have the numbers. You know, there's boys supporting off each shoulder. And one of the things that I love seeing is when Kilcare actually manage to turn over sides really deeply and then they break. You're talking, you know, numbers of 6, 7, 8, 9 and players getting off the shoulder and then inevitably working a score, putting it dead up the other end. You know, they really are in full stride. Fantastic to watch.
Fantastic is right. I think they learned a lot from last year, so you'd have to say fair play to them and John McNulty and everybody for the organisation that they've put into Kilcare, worthy winners. Turn our attention to Niamh Connell St Union's yesterday, a game that went to extra time, had a bit of everything in it, Frank, at times, you know, it was very laboured in terms of 15 inside the 45, etc. You know, it was tough to watch, but of course, with low scoring games, and I was thinking about this one at home last night, Frank, but the very fact that it's low, low scoring, each point matters more than in your normal game. It almost matters double. So if a side gets a score up on you, that could be the end of you, because they'll sit and it takes so long to kind of work a scoring position. So there's a tremendous amount of tension in the game. Of course, Niall O'Donnell's late equaliser from the free, and people question that free. And then, of course, going into injury time where extra time where Unions took over in many regards. And then we had the goal incident, Frank. What did you make of the affair?
You know, at the time, and relying on just line of sight, so many of those decisions were so hard to call. Of course, you get home that evening and there's footage online and different things. At the time, I wasn't so sure on the goal. Speaking to Leo McLean after, you know, Leo said that he'd made contact with the ball before he'd made contact with Sean Patton. And, you know, I believed him. And when I was finishing off my report at the end, I felt a lot safer sort of kind of making that there call. Yeah, he took man on ball, but I think he took ball just before man. And I'd say Sean Patton, you know, in reflection, would probably be a wee bit disappointed. There was loads of things there, Brendan. As you say, over the 60 minutes, you know, extra time to go on a life of its own, but over the 60 minutes, in terms of football, aesthetically, it wasn't great, but there was that much controversy. Mm. There was the red card incident. There was Rory Kavanagh's effort that, from our side again, it was the wrong side to make a judgment. You know, anybody maybe on the far side of the stand was better placed to call that there. What I could call, though, was maybe the decision that was awarded that resulted in Niall O'Donnell's brilliant free at the end to tie it up at the end of normal time. That looked soft. Yeah. So there was loads of things, and at the end of the day, you know, try not to rely on referees' decisions. You know, won the game on your own terms. And I think St Union's haven't worked themselves into that 3-point lead. You know, on cold reflection, they look at that there, you know, the surrendering of that goal, especially the way that goal came about and the circumstances. You know, they probably only have themselves to blame, Britain.
Yeah, listen, I always say that, listen, the best team wins, and whatever way that happens, Frank, within the rules, that's okay. Mm. And just, you have that thing of, did Patton have his hands on the ball? I mean, from my view, I think Patton had his hands on the ball before the tackle. That would be, the question mark about it. For me, he definitely had. Now, at the time even that it happened, I thought it was okay for a certain amount of contact between a player and a man. I spoke to Pat McEnany this morning. He was saying, if the keeper's hands on his ball, he's not allowed to be touched. And that's it.
Well, that sheds a different kind of light in it, because we talk about tackling and popping a ball out of somebody's hand. You know, sometimes it's easier to dislodge a ball when you actually tackle the ball as opposed to a man. It seemed like, you know, Leo popped it out, but, you know, you're making the point that Pat McEnany knows a lot more about myself or yourself than him.
I just wanted his views on it. To me, at the time, I thought it was okay, because, but he was saying, no, once he has his hands on the ball, he's not allowed to be touched. and it looked like there was a bit of argy after that. But listen, the goal stands. They've gone in their fourth final in 4 years. Fair play to them. Now the Masters are coming out 1 point games. I mean, what a kick by Thompson to win it. I thought McKelvey was very good in the game. Ethan Donald played well. Charles McGuinness started well. You know, I thought Eunan Doherty had a great game as well. I mean, I'd have to mention that Brendan McDyer coming off the bench them too, kicking two vital points. You know, huge.
Yeah.
So you know, we keep talking about Niamh Conlon's squad and their depth and their never say die. And listen, in fairness, you might, whatever you think about the goal, they still did it again, Frank.
Yeah, and listen, just for Unions, I mean, Sean McLean, Conor Keane and O'Donnell came off the bench too and made massive contributions. Yep. And that's just maybe looking at a whole of these top four and ten of panel. And panel really does mean something at this level. You know, Jack McKelvey, I give him man of the match in today's paper as well, even though I think Kieran Thompson got the official man of the match award, but Kieran Thompson made a massive contribution. And people talk about the kick, but not even that one on point. It's what he did in the lead up. He had a free kick too far from goal, but he waited and he waited, and the guaranteed cert given goal, and the fastest man on that pitch was Owen McGettigan. So he waited till Owen showed because he knew he'd get it back. But he didn't take the kick on right away. He engineered the space with two brilliant dummies with the hand. And the kick then was so hard to take on. I mean, but it stuck the post brilliantly. I mean, it's just a brilliant kick. And to be fair, we talk about match winners. I don't think anybody else would be capable of doing that there, you know, under that kind of pressure, because there was two Unions men closing them down. But listen, they weren't to be denied. And they don't go away. We've seen that against Guidor last year as well over the course of three games. And listen, the championship obituary was written in the press box. There was two or three people saying that Unions were going to kick on and won it, but there were two or three as well knowing what Niamh Conlon are made of that said, listen, this isn't over till it's over, and that's the way it's transpired. It was gut-wrenching for Unions because they've put in a massive effort. I mean, Richard Thornton, anytime you call him, he picks up the phone. He gives youth its chance. I mean, brave decision all season, you know, using Rory Kavanagh, who I don't think's been carrying any injury as an impact player. You know, that's brave and bold as well, because we see other players in other clubs, you know, the same kind of vintage, Niamh Conlon, case in point, still make a massive contribution. So, I mean, Richard's doing really good work there. Yeah. In St. Unions, and I hope he has a disillusioned. I hope he stays on, because they're getting closer, maybe on paper. They're no further on this year than they were last year, but there's a real good look about that there, St. Union side. And I think if they stick at it and show some patience, listen, they're going to win a county title sooner rather than later. Martin Regan made that point in the build-up. Just really disappointing, but you just have to tip your hat to Niamh Conlon. They know how to win games. They know how to dig deep. And I thought it was very interesting, Brett. You know, they changed tack over the last 2 years because they needed to go back to the drawing board, but they reverted to type a little after 10 or 15 minutes before even AJ Gawler was sent off, where they probably looked at St. Unions and realised that Unions were a different animal this year. But it's by design by Niamh Conlon now, where they're very comfortable at mixing it up. Whereas maybe before last year's one, they hadn't the confidence to take sides on, they reverted back into a shell and hope for the best. Whereas yesterday, I think that was very calculated and they were very confident in what they were doing. And listen, Martin's been there a long time. So many of those players, we looked at the lineage from 2005. There's eight people still involved from that tier one 15 years ago, which is a mental statistic, really. But that just, and they're not just there on, you know, at the end or being put out to pasture. Look at Anthony Thompson, Marty Boyle, these boys yesterday, Leo McLoone. You know, they're at such a condition now, and football's gone that way, that these lads in their early to mid-30s are just so, so vital still to the team.
They seem to have been there forever, all right. And listen, Frank, I know you kind of a couple of points. I think Unions are in a lot better. I know it'd be hard for them today hearing this, but they do look like they're improving a lot. And I just think you said about Conor O'Donnell, sometimes you need a spark. You talk about bravery from Thornton. I think some O'Donnell showed Unions what bravery is. You know, young lad, come on the pitch, he's what, 19, 20. He comes on, he hits that brilliant point when Unions couldn't seem to even get a shot away. He had a second brilliant point with outside the boot. Top drawer, as you say, McVeigh. And I think you could see a growth of Unions in terms of we know how to get around this blanket. We're getting inside, we're getting our patches. And then I'd say they were hit with a sucker punch goal. So probably for Unions coming on, I know what you're saying, they're bound to 1-1 soon. That's probably going to be hard medicine for them to take today. But I think they're certainly improving. But you'd have to say for Niamh Conlon now, going into this final, Frank, it's certainly a case of Kilkerr, don't get me wrong, they're going to do this. They're not going to be suckers and coming in. When they get the chance, they're going to drop as many as they can inside their 45, but they're going to break with that bit more pace Would it? Are you fancying Kilcare in this final? I mean, again, we can never write Niamh Conlon off, after, particularly after last year's three-game saga. But you would have to think going into this that Kilcare have probably more attacking aces in the pack.
Listen, I go back to the point again, original point of those four sides. You're talking any, you know, combination on any given day. It is a flip of a coin, Brenton. I mean, we play those two semi-finals from the weekend over again next week. They could easily go the other way. I think the margins are that thin. What we're guaranteed is competitive action. Maybe we haven't had that, you know, up until the semi-finals, maybe bar obviously St. Michael's and Sean McCool's give good accounts for themselves. What we're getting now is sides pinned to their collar, and the likes of Kilcare, the likes of Niamh Conlon in this here final, I mean, the amount of thinking and the amount of plotting that has to be done, it comes down to thin margins. You chatted about it, you know, a few minutes ago. And again, you know, it's segueing, but the point you made about Conor O'Donnell, sides are really physically conditioned now, but they're mentally conditioned maybe in a negative kind of way, where players are maybe too inhibited or told flatly out not to, you know, not to take anything to chance. You know, you're only allowed to kick balls that are on. You're only allowed to fist pass, you know, laterally to make sure you don't lose possession. Every number is crunched now, and it's nice to see that sort of off-the-cuffness involved in games where lads just take on a bit of responsibility. At the end of the day, you know, we're praising young Conor, but Conor will probably tell you those two balls are 25, 30 yards out. You know, they're not hard kicks, but a lot of other players are so conditioned now in terms of tactics, they're not capable of doing that. But the thing about these two sides in the final, Kilcare can score from their half, you know, Kilcare's half-backs can get up the field, they can kick points, their midfield can, they're both, you know, both their forward lines, there is such a thing as two forward lines now, but all their inside men can kick ball. Niamh Conlon can mix it. I think they're more flexible, and maybe they have more ways to approach a game than Kilcare, but that doesn't make Kilcare any less dangerous. We talked to Kilcare, to say they're one-dimensional would be, you know, it wouldn't do them justice. I think they're one-dimensional by design again. They love to go for you. They back themselves. They're exciting. There's speed. There's pace there. Maybe they're not as physical as Niamh Conlon, but again, as Q McFadden pointed out, you know, last week, that there sometimes is overstated. When sides are moving the ball and you can't put a hand on them, and when you do put a hand on them, sometimes freezer order, it's going to be interesting to see who's in charge of this year game. I mean, the build-up now is 2 weeks. Great. Just, you know, from a press point of view, hope we get access to people. By what means, obviously, it won't be, you know, your normal run-of-the-mill press night. But it's great to be looking forward to this game. I think tomorrow we hopefully will get word that there might be a level or a number of people allowed to see it, because it was, you know, an issue over the weekend, supporters not being there. We had issues with streaming and different things. Yeah. But it's great to be talking about football. It's great to be at football. And from a selfish point of view, for likes of myself and yourself, who can get to see these games live and attendance, like, long may it continue.
That's right, good man. Well put, Frank. And yeah, the referee's a big one. I think we need to approach the referee thing with a bit of calm. You know, it's a very, very difficult job. So many players in around the ball. The ref's trying to do his best. He has to call it on the spot. If anybody's ever done that, even in a training match, see how hard that is to do. Have to spare a thought for the old whistlers. Yeah, and Frank, I know you've been avoiding it so far, but can you give me a winner in the county final?
Funny, I haven't really thought about it, Brett, but like being put on the spot, sometimes it's best to go with your gut instinct, and I just think Niamh Conlon, maybe with that variety in the way they can approach it, and just that experience, it really comes down to experience. Kilcare, I think, carry a lot of pressure and expectation that they put on themselves, because they know they're that good, and they probably feel that they should have more than the one senior title they have in the last few years. I think Niamh Conlon, you know, going into that final 5-10 minutes, when the margins are going to be really close, they will be inevitably. I think just that extra know-how and that history of being there and grinding out these games, I think it just gives them the slight edge. And I think, again, it mightn't be as pretty as we hope, but I think Glenties will find that their way to win.
Very interesting. Good man. Frank, I'll see you at that big day, and thanks for joining us on the DL Debate. And now on the line, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by one of the former greats from the kingdom, now turned top pundit. It's Tomás O'Shea. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, Brendan. How are you getting on?
Tearing away, my man. Tomás, I'm just looking at you. Outside of your career, you do an article with Independent, top analyst in the Sunday Game. You have a brilliant podcast, Cora Thomas. You're a teacher, 4 kids. My God, you're a busy man.
Busy is, and you know what? A lot of fellas would say, Brendan, I'm doing none of them right. Now, if I got one aspect right, I'd be doing well. But I hear it at home a lot. My good wife gives me a fair amount of grief, and I commit to things before I even think of it. But yeah, it's great that there's a championship coming up, and we'll be busy again, Brian.
Isn't it great? You know, and I'll tell you, Thomas, from a time when pundits are in the Sunday Gamer, but like refs, everybody was giving off about him. And landed this new boy in the black, O'Shea. You know, sometimes in a fancy three-piece suit and a snappy bow tie. But I'll tell you one thing, Thomas, you always delivered an honest analysis, and I think that struck a huge chord. You know, everywhere I went, I travel all around Ireland with my job, particularly in the north, people are giving off stink about pundits, but you landed in, and I think just by giving good, honest analysis, you know, a lot of people now have a serious amount of time for you as a pundit.
Well, I don't know who it was, Brendan, when I was going in, said to me going in the door, they said, don't try to be clever, just be honest. Mm. And if you start going down playing games, and I find I wouldn't be clever enough to carry that off, and I contradict myself, and then in the modern world where you have fellas that can bring up what you said before and post it up on social media, it's a dangerous world. I won't get it right all the time, Brendan. I won't. I'll call things wrong, but I will call it as I see it. And if I see it one way and I call it, it doesn't mean I'm right, but you're there just to give your opinion. And I enjoy it. I never thought it would happen. I never looked for it. You know, it was something that Paul Burns was the man in charge of the Sunday Game at the time, and he asked me, and I was a guy who went out through my whole career, and my motto was, the less I say, the better. And I never gave interviews, I never spoke to media or anything like that, as much as I could. And Paddy would have always said that the time to be in the paper was the Monday morning. So when I got the offer, it was great, and I actually took... I enjoy it. There's a lot of work goes into it, Brendan, because you know yourself, when you're playing a team, like if Kerry were playing or Donegal were playing, you didn't care about the rest of the country. Mm. You cared about the next opposition that Donegal had or that Kerry had. Whereas in this game, geez, you have to give everybody due respect. And it doesn't matter if you're in Division 1 or if you're the bottom of Division 3 or the bottom of Division 4, everybody deserves respect and everybody's putting in the same effort. So that's the big thing that I found going into it, that you had to be prepared and you had to have your homework done and you had to know your stuff, basically.
Yeah, I'd say you've built up some level of contacts around the country now. Just on that, Tomás, the fact that you do your podcast and all, it's been first class, Cumara le Tomás. Asking the questions, being asked the questions, how do you differentiate between the two in terms of what's the most awkward, being prepared for a line of questions in a game like that, or actually setting up an interview?
Oh, it's a way, you know it yourself, but it's a way you're answering. Because there's no talk going into it, there's no homework going into it. The homework you do as a pundit is obviously just following up on football and following the games and following the matches and following the individuals and what's being said in the media and all that. But, geez, when you're actually on the other side of it, it just happened that the lads in Benetti got on to me and said, would I do something on Instagram? And there wasn't too many people watching, and it just sprung from that. But I was killing myself. But I was actually, if I was interviewing whoever it was, Desi Dolan, we'll say, I would get up that morning and I would trawl through stuff, and then I'd try to get on to a few fellas to try to get a couple of angles on him in terms of a couple of stories or, you know, and it was taking a lot of the time and effort out of it. And after a while, one of the lads, I was going to pack it in, and one of the lads said, you should actually go have one cut off it on your own as a podcast. And we did it, and it went well. It went very well, and there was some... It's just easy-going stuff, Brendan. It'd be like a lot of the effort and the thought. Yes, you do have to know about the career of a fan, but it's like meeting him anywhere and asking him the questions when you read about it. You say, geez, I'd love to know what he thought of this, or how he got out there, or how he ended up in Australia, or how did he actually come home. And I enjoy it, and I'd have a good crack with the lads, and I think it's important. I think the guy you ask on, like... I suppose the way the modern game has gone, Brendan, you ask an intercounty, a current intercounty fella on, it's seldom you get a fella that would open up and tell you as it is, you know, and I suppose that's just the way they're trained and that's just the way it is. And I'd agree with it to a certain extent because that's the way I was myself. But when you get a fella that's kind of retired and knows the game and knows it inside out and then is not afraid to talk or not afraid to share the stories, and that's when you get a good interview, and it's brilliant stuff to be listening to.
Yeah, I think your down-to-earth mannerisms helps a lot with that, Tomás. And I think the research thing is probably more just to have pointers to go with, you know, that you can at least know an outset what happened this year or was there a story here. And then it's up to the guest then to open up on that. It's, I suppose that's the thing that gets you, Tomás. You don't want to miss anything, that you can get the right amount of information out. And once that information's coming, it is very enjoyable.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you get them at a certain level, Brendan, I'm not trying to, the one thing I'm not trying to do is I'm not trying to bury a fella, or I'm not trying to get a fella into trouble, or I'm not trying to catch a fella. I'm just kind of just being interested myself and start off the conversation as normal and try just to have it as much as you can as if it was just on the side of the street, or if you met a fella sitting down at a match or inside in the bar or whatever it is, just sit down and have that conversation. And it went very well. We don't know where we're going to go with the second one, Brendan, because look, it costs a fair amount to do it, and we were doing it, say, online, and we wanted to up the levels, and we did one with Paul Gavin where we went to Dublin. We did it in a studio, and it worked out a little way better. There was no issues with having that fellas to turn on lights because it was getting dark in the background, or fellas with bad connections. There was one fella that kept me on the line there for about 15 minutes, and I had to fill up the time myself because it was on a live Instagram feed. And I think that reliability, like, you understand there, fellas, in the media who are live, and if it breaks down and the trouble they have. So we don't know, is there a second series coming out? Hopefully there would be, because I actually got into it and I started enjoying it. And during the lockdown it was a great kind of out for me, and it was something to keep me kind of still in talking about football and stuff. But the fact that the All-Ireland is around the corner now, Brendan, we'll be busy enough with that as well, like.
That's it. I mean, I did quite a few features there, you know, we'd be the likes of all our stars from 2012 and 92, and we went outside the likes of Pat McEnany was on, and Peter Canavan, David Brady, fellas like that. We didn't go that far down the country, Tomás. I'd love to read your book, The White Heat, and do a feature on you down the road. Hopefully it won't be a lockdown feature, it'll just be a feature maybe at some stage. That would be brilliant, because Tomás, obviously, and outside of everything you won, you won five All-Irelands and five All-Stars. I mean, it was an absolutely epic career. And I was just looking at your retirement, Tomás. Maybe that's the reason we love you so much up in Donegal. You actually retired in 2013 before our famous defeat to the Kerry boys in 2014. So maybe that's why we have that bit of extra love for you.
I remember, so I always say it, I remember the night that Kerry beat Donegal in 2014, I was actually working with RTÉ that night, and I was coming back to the hotel, and the hotel was gone bonkers. The Kerry team were in the hotel, and I was just heading up to my room, and I was just getting into the lift, and there was this guy asleep. He had obviously enjoyed the night a little bit too much, and he was asleep on a chair right beside the elevator. And as I was getting in, he cocked his eye up at me, and he says, you're some dope, he says to me. I said, what's wrong with you? He says, you should have stayed another year, you'd have got another medal, you clown.
I think five was enough, mate. Come on, that's, you're talking to us per Donegal guys here. Funny, Tomás, I missed you. I obviously hooked up with Ireland a few times, and, you know, listen, the Kerry lads stood out for me, particularly when I went in tour in 2001. Obviously, Tag was out there. I struck up a great relationship with Mike Frank. Of course, Dara, I'd hang about with Mike Frank during the day, Dara at night. Seamus Moynihan. I have to give a special mention to Moynihan. Tomás, what a player, what a guy. Hey, I just, of all players I think I met up in that time, the guy just was gifted on another level.
Seamus Moynihan was probably the greatest that I've ever seen in the flesh, Brendan. You know, I mean, Donegal, I love watching Murphy, but, you know, if thing is going to swing it for you, for the greatest player that you have, if you spend time inside in a training session, you're training with a guy over years, and you see what he's actually doing inside in training, as well as what he does on the biggest days of the year, then what Moynihan did was phenomenal. Like, he was an unbelievable character. His ability to win matches, his ability to get on top of players, his ability just to drive the whole team on. But I think what made him really, what players really loved him, was that he was able to mix it. And you know it as well, Brendan. Socially, he was a great guy out. Okay. And he was a guy who'd put a hand over your shoulder if you needed to. He was well able to have the fun. And he was one of these guys that could do it either way he wanted. Like, Brian Robson was always described as the same way. He always turned up. He always performed on the pitch. But by God, he was able to have the fun off it as well. And it never crossed over. He knew when to draw the line. And an unbelievable character, and a good company out as well, Brendan.
Great guy. Well, good, yeah, 100%. There's something always stood with me from that time, Tomás, was when we were playing, like, version of Aussie rules, which didn't happen when you went to play the Aussies because they battered you. There was no time. But when Fellas was playing those lovely glided passes, himself and Buckley were just on another level. And I remember a few times they had, you give a soccer analogy to Robson, you remember the Jan Mulby used to spray about those passes? Moynihan had that kind of thing where he could just spray a pass. I don't know even how he did it. It's like he had control over the ball. The man had that much quality. But listen, that's our assuming. I'm just looking at, we're at county final stage here, Tomás, and we're probably very Ulster centred at the minute. You know, we see what's happening all around Ulster. We don't see a lot down in the Kerry and Cork at the minute. What stage are you at, and how's things been going in the club there?
Yeah, they're at the, they had the semi-final over the weekend, Brendan, so they're the divisional sides in Kerry. I don't know, it's a huge thing around in certain counties, but it's not in other counties, and I don't think you have divisional sides above there at all, do you?
No, we just have straight championship.
Straight clubs, yeah. Well, down in Kerry you have divisional sides, and at the moment the divisional sides are strong, they're very strong. East Kerry now, for example, they're made up of several clubs. You have Glen Flesk, and you have Ratmore, you have Ollie Spa, you have all these clubs in around Killarney. But there's about seven or eight clubs, and they are very strong. Fossa would be another club then, which ensures that they have the two Cliffords. And they're really, really strong. They're after winning five county minor titles in a row as well, Brendan, which means like they're getting stronger. Yesterday there was a relegation match for a team to go down from senior. Kilcommon went down, and there Kevin McCarthy, who used to play with Kerry the last couple of years, they are now going to join up because they've been relegated with East Kerry. So the divisional sides are really strong. You have a final made up of Mid-Kerry versus East Kerry. Crokes, in fairness to them, went to the semi-final, and it was a cracker of a match on Saturday night there, where Mid-Kerry got on top of them at the very end after extra time. And I didn't see it, Brendan, but I'm going to watch it. I heard it was a phenomenal game of football, an exciting game of football. But it's certainly something that's jumping out. Crokes are always there, thereabouts. But the club football in Kerry, Brendan, I don't think is as strong as it needs to be. You know, you've got the Dingles, you've got Kieran's Rahleys, you've Austin Stacks, all great traditional strongholds, but not really making an impact the last few years in terms of actually threatening to win a county title. The Crokes dominated the club scene for a long, long time, but right now you have around the county all these minor teams that come through. A lot of them are playing with these divisional sides. So outside of Mid-Kerry and East Kerry, you also have St. Brendan's, who are a combination, and Dermot O'Connor would play with them. They have a number of Kerry players. And then you'd have the likes of St. Kieran's, another. Then you have South Kerry, you have West Kerry. There's a lot. There's only eight senior clubs in Kerry, Brendan, at the moment. You see, when we're scanning and we're watching matches and club matches, and it's the same everywhere, you're scanning, what I'm scanning anyway, looking, is there any players there that are going to step up to Kerry level? And, you know, I saw a good few games during the club championship or the county championship, and I don't know, was there anybody jumping out at me saying that we haven't seen already? Yeah. So you're there looking, is there anybody putting up their hand to actually, Paddy Clifford now, David Clifford's brother, showed up very well the last day. Now, he hasn't got a real chance in the with the county colours yet. And Tony Brosnan with Dr. Crokes, he got injured, so if fellas were to say that he would get a crack with Kerry this year. But the county championship is going well. They're into the final now. You've two left standing, East Kerry and Mid Kerry, and two divisional sides, which is strange in a county like Kerry. You need the clubs going well, I feel. But the divisional sides are dominating at the moment, Brendan.
Yeah, and you'd still expect a big push. Kerry seem to be getting better every year, and this condensed championship is going to be a very strange one, Tomás. This could be the one that they finally get across the line and crack that dub conundrum.
Geez, yeah, it is. It's a fair conundrum. And from what
automatically think it's going to be Dublin all the way. But listen, they are obviously the standard bearers, Tomás. Whenever the likes of a Kerry, we just expect them to be in that knockout stages. But one team, I think, that have the ability to probably take them out at this point, particularly going on what we've seen last year, would be Kerry.
Yeah, and if look, Brendan, I'd agree. I think what Kerry have, and you look back at any of the teams that have won All-Ireland in the last whatever, take outside of Dublin before it, you look at the Donegals and the Kerrys, any team that won in All-Ireland, they always had a good set of forwards, very good set of forwards, right? And Kerry have that right now. But I think at midfield and all the way back, I still think Kerry need to be giving us more. and giving like they need to be harder to score against. I think they came so close last year in the final. There was some opportunity, especially when you saw Cooper being sent off, and you think, geez, there's something happening here, and it just they weren't able to close it out. They're at a million miles off, but at the same time, you'd still have to say that Dublin are well in command. Like I spoke to a fellow yesterday, we were chatting about who had chances, and Galway had a great start to the league, Brendan. But I mean, in my eyes, you'll have Dublin at the top. You'll have Kerry close about. You'll have Donegal close about. You'll have probably Tyrone close about. Mayo, you don't know where they're going to be at. And Galway, it's going to be the same kind of teams that are going to be thereabouts at the end of the season. But for me, Brendan, and it's a kind of a depressing thing to say, the only thing that we're hanging on is that it's a knockout championship and something could give. The other thing is that Leinster is, in terms of competitiveness for Dublin, there's no challenge for them. And they have this kind of a run-in. You take Ulster, where they're preliminary round, they'll have four tough matches above there, whereas Dublin will coast through, Kerry will coast through, Munster well, if Cork will show up, and I think they will show up this year. But it's still a knockout. It's a knockout competition, and I suppose that's why people are saying maybe it's a year to catch Dublin. But at the end of the day, you'd have to say Dublin are still the pallbearers, that they're going to be thereabouts again, Mike.
Yeah, I totally agree. Funny, you're summing up a Kerry. Reminds me a lot of Donegal at the minute. Certainly all the attack and prowess at Donegal, have they haven't unearthed defensive abilities of the same. So listen, that'll set up maybe for a Kerry Donegal 120 like we had a couple of years ago, Tomás. Listen, Tomás, thanks so much. As I say, that we'd love to do a feature down the road in you, and appreciate you joining us this evening and giving us your words on the DL debate.
Thanks a million, Brendan, and all the best.
Right, folks, that's a wrap again for another week. Thanks so much to my guests, Frank Craig, Declan Bonner, and Tomás O'Shea. I want to thank Kenneth and Oisin for producing in studio, and I'll speak to you next week.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.